Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Inside. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We've seen the videos from the streets of San Francisco, where an older Asian woman or man is beaten and attacked for no reason. Mass shootings targeting a certain group, race, and ethnicity. And specifically in our area, anti-Semitic symbols left on both Sac State and UC Davis campuses or hung on freeway overpasses for all to see. If you think you've been hearing more about hate crimes over the past couple of years, especially since the start of the pandemic, you'd be right. According to a recently published report, the California Attorney General's office says hate crimes are at their highest reported level in 20 years, up just 32%, even when just comparing 2020 to 2021. Now, that includes crimes against Hispanics, the LGBTQ plus community, African Americans, but the highest rise in hate crimes targeted Asian Americans, up 177%. Now, California is making it easier to report these types of crimes. CAP Radio's race and equity reporter, Sarah Mises-Tan, joins us now with details on the new Commission on the State of Hate and the resources available for reporting cases. Sarah, thanks for being here today. Good morning.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Vicky.
I mean, the rise in the number of incidents, I mean, it just speaks for themselves. But is that what sparked the creation of this new commission, or has this been in the works for some time?
Yeah, it has been in the works for some time. I think the bill was initially proposed by Assembly member or former state Assembly member Richard Bloom back in 2019, but it was just recently passed this September. It was created with the idea of being a commission with representatives from many of California's diverse communities, bringing them together so that they could help analyze and suggest policy solutions to hate crimes when they occurred in the state. And now, of course, it's shifted to more aggressively looking at that rise in hate crimes and really having this commission kind of work with policymakers to address rises that they see. And of course, since 2020, as you said, reported hate crimes have risen about 32% overall, according to a recent report from the state attorney general's office. So that's a pretty significant rise. But here's Assemblymember Bloom.
The steep rise in hate crimes and incidents come at a time where public confidence in our government institutions is also at an all-time low. Justice can seem evasive as extremists are emboldened by the reckless hate speech and dog whistling that comes from some of the most powerful places in our societies at times. It's my sincere hope that as commissioners, the diverse backgrounds and expertise that each of you bring to the table will help to bolster the vision of the commission.
All right. So who is this commission? Who are the people behind it? And what are the goals of the commission?
Sure. Yeah. So there is a representative from the Asian American community, a representative from the African American community, the Latino community, the LGBTQ community, and the Jewish community. And then I believe they have statewide expert Brian Levin, who just he studies hate at the, I think, at Cal State Santa Barbara, I want to say. So he's at the Center for Hate and Extremism there.
So an academic component to it as well.
Yes, definitely. So there are community members, there are academics who study the rise in hate and white supremacy. Overall, it's a really great makeup, I would say. And they had a lot of really great things to talk about. But just nuts and bolts of what the bill outlines for this commission. Commissioners are expected to hold 4 public forums a year. And they'll be producing a yearly report on the state of hate in California. Their very first report is going to be due in July of 2023. So we can expect to see that then. Overall, the commission's purpose is to really try to bridge that gap between the many nonprofit organizations that are currently collecting data on hate crimes independently. So organizations like Stop AAPI Hate, who do a great job at it. But the numbers just, you know, I think the state would like to have some sort of formal state backup organization to be looking at these numbers. And of course, just coordinating with state agencies that have also been collecting their own data on hate crimes. Everyone on the commission also acknowledged that despite seeing a rise in reported hate crimes over the past 2 years, a lot of hate crimes and incidents are still going underreported. And so the commission will also be looking to build a better connection between the state and underrepresented communities who may not always feel comfortable coming forward.
Well, maybe one solution to this, which we're going to get to, is that there's also a statewide hate crime hotline. So what is the status of this hotline? Is it up and running?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm sure for those of us who have been following just the state's response to the rise in hate crime since 2020, I am sure at some point you must have heard about this promised hate crime hotline. It actually ran into a couple snafus over the summer and over the past few years. So it had not come to fruition yet, but it is online now. Essentially, we had a commissioner, Cynthia Che, who's representing the Asian American community. She asked the Civil Rights Department about an update on the hate crimes hotline. Here she is.
I was actually very excited to hear that this was a program, but maybe 2 years ago, there was an issue of staffing and capacity. So I wonder if you could speak to that. And then also the ability to provide these services for community members whose primary language is not English.
Yeah, some really great points that she makes there. I don't know if the Civil Rights Department has yet created the answers to all of her requests here, but I can confirm that it is up and running. The department was able to secure more funding this past summer. And so it is running. You can call it now. And there is better staff equipped to handle the hotline.
So like the groundwork is being laid, but logistically still in a scaling up process for what is a new service for reporting hate crimes across California. When it comes to the commission and their priorities, what are some of the first issues that they want to tackle?
A number of commissioners mentioned trying to figure out solutions for how police interact with vulnerable communities, how to address the fear that some of these communities feel in contacting law enforcement, and how to keep hate crime policies from disproportionately incarcerating people with mental health problems or unhoused people, since that's a big worry. The Civil Rights Department of California is also it's also recently been renamed. The department was formerly known as the Department of Fair Employment and Housing. So if you didn't recognize that name, Civil Rights Department, there it is. They will be specifically working with the commission to tackle that rise in hate crimes. And they're hoping that their kind of rebrand will kind of shift people's mindset to realize that this is the department that you bring hate crime incidents too.
And you bring up a really important point, because there's an important piece to that, and that is building or rebuilding trust with communities where that trust may have been broken. So when it comes to the concerns about people with mental or emotional challenges and the possibility that they might be disproportionately targeted because of this hotline, how is the commission addressing this?
Yeah, I think this is a really important line that the commission is going to have to toe. I think all the commission members agreed that this was an important point to just keep in mind. Some commissioners brought up the fact that in New York City, people brought in accused of hate crimes were often first-time offenders. And a recent report just from this past year of the offenders who were brought in, 40% of those accused were classified as suffering from mental health challenges, which is absolutely just something we've got to be aware of. And at the same time, it was also brought up that Los Angeles County has a local hate crime division. And when they were asked to go through their caseload, all the cases that were set to be prosecuted were pretty clear-cut hate crimes. Here's Commissioner Brian Levin talking about what he's heard in Los Angeles.
There were only 3 felonies in the pipeline. 2 were attempted murders against transgender people, and 1 was an attack on a Black motorist by a shovel-wielding racist who did stiff arm salutes while his partner said White Lives Matter. So it's not like we're prosecuting a lot of these under hate crime laws to begin with. And some work that was done by San Francisco some years ago showed that, in particular with regard to transgender, we were not seeing convictions under the hate crime statute. So we need to do more work with this, but also have it be a bit elastic.
Okay, so the state also has some frameworks to work off of, local investments to tackle hate crimes from Los Angeles and New York City. When it comes to money, how is this hotline funded? What kind of personnel is staffing the hotline? And what do we know about their training?
Sure, yeah, nuts and bolts on the hotline, which is, by the way, going to be separate from the commission's efforts, just so that people understand. But the money for this hotline is coming specifically from funds allocated by the legislature during its last session to go towards this hotline. They didn't say exactly what kind of personnel is needed, but the goal is to use the hotline to collect data on trends of hate crimes happening across the state. So it's not necessarily a solutions hotline, just so that people are aware of that. That was something that I was not necessarily clear on either, but it seems that this hotline is really more supposed to be like a streamlined data collection service for people. There are three people that the state has hired specifically to focus on analyzing this data. One person is coming from the federal government's hate crimes unit. They've got a civil rights attorney, and I believe they have one more person from formerly from the federal government. They have funding for the next 3 years, and they hope the hotline can be a way not just to track hate crimes, but also to find out what's the best way for hate crimes to be addressed that works for individual communities.
So let's kind of walk through, I mean, from what you know, because this is still building up and this is still taking shape. But from what you know, what happens when someone makes a call? What is the process like and how are these calls vetted?
Yes. So at the moment, this hate crimes hotline seems to truly be a way for state just to collect data on what's happening. The Civil Rights Department didn't go into details about the exact process of what happens when you call in on that line. But from what I've read in their literature, those who call in are simply doing so to report an incident. I think you'll probably leave a report on a recorded line, and then follow-up is going to happen in the form of an email that's going to connect the victim to resources. The perpetrator is not going to be contacted. The department also specifies that anyone, even bystanders, can report a hate crime or hate incident, and it can be done anonymously. I assume staff at the hate crimes unit are then going to go through if they deem reports to be valid or not, but I haven't been able to officially verify that point with the department.
And I know, understood, we're talking about a phone number, but I don't know about everybody else. I don't really remember a lot of phone numbers, you know, especially with cell phones and we have a contact list. But there's also an online option as well.
Yes, absolutely. So people looking to file a hate incident or hate crime with the hotline can do so at the state's Civil Rights Department website. There's a full form that can be filled out there. The website is stophate.calcivilrights.ca.gov.
Yeah, and we, of course, have that information on our Insight page. And for those who do want the phone number, what is the number to the hotline?
Absolutely. For those looking to call and voice that, the number is 1-833-8-NO-HATE. So that's, again, 1-833-8-NO-HATE.
Sarah, thank you so much for your reporting and joining us this morning.
Of course. Thank you so much, Vicky.
Sarah Mizestan is CAP Radio's race and equity reporter. We have all of this information, including the online link and the hotline number, on our Insight page. Up next, it's been nearly 3 months of ongoing protests about Iran, and the country's government continues to be in the world spotlight for the treatment of its people. We'll have a conversation about the latest developments in the unrest and how the Iranian community in California is responding. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.